KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in False Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. More than $130 million in grants for clean energy projects in rural Alaska are now frozen. That's after President Donald Trump signed dozens of executive orders during his first day in office, including one freezing funding from the Federal Inflation Reduction Act and bipartisan infrastructure law. The projects were meant to lower energy costs in rural communities and bring them additional revenue sources to support critical infrastructure. That includes hydroelectric dams, wind turbines, and solar energy systems that were funded in more than a dozen Alaska villages with federal grants throughout last year. Now, those projects are in limbo. One example is two large wind turbines in Kotzebue. Chad Nordlum is the energy project manager for the village. He says that with the funding freeze, residents are now concerned about the shipping schedule for the turbines and getting the project off the ground.
Right now, there doesn't seem to be much we can do on our end. We're just waiting for clarity.
The Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium has partnered with tribes across the state, including in Kotzebue, to receive the federal grants. In total, they've been awarded contracts for about $132 million, says Katya Karankovich, a project manager at the consortium, but they have not received the money yet. She says that the energy from those projects is cheaper than transported diesel and would help residents lower their bills. The tribes would also be able to sell that power to local utility companies and get additional revenue to invest in local water and sewer infrastructure.
We're trying to get all off-the-road system communities on board with the idea to do renewable energy in a completely different way in the state, and that is to set up the communities themselves to sell power to themselves and to use the earnings for public benefit, like taking care of sanitation infrastructure.
Karankovich says the projects in question are at different states of progress, but all have completed feasibility studies proving their cost efficiency. She says that while the funding freeze is a hurdle, the consortium still plans to continue moving forward with the projects. The funding freeze is also impacting Indian Country plans to improve roads, provide clean drinking water, clean up oil and gas wells, and other projects for tribal communities across the country. The nation's highest court has declined to hear a case about Montana voting laws that tribes and Native vote advocates say would have disproportionately affected Native people. Kathleen Shannon has more.
Last year, Montana's Supreme Court decided that two laws passed in 2021 to ban same-day voter registration and paid absentee ballot collection were unconstitutional. Alex Wright with the ACLU of Montana says people who face too many costs to voting often don't. For those who already face barriers, like long distances to elections offices or no residential mail delivery, these laws could have tipped the scales. Wright argues that was the intention.
That's what we saw with these laws was a very deliberate attempt to make it so difficult for people to vote that they would stay home.
Montana Secretary of State Christy Jacobson brought the case to the U.S. Supreme Court, which last week opted not to hear it. Wright says the high court doesn't have jurisdiction to pick up a case on state voting laws. According to the Brennan Center for Justice, states passed almost 80 restrictive voting laws between 2021 and 2024, nearly three times the number passed in the previous few years. So far in Montana's 2025 legislative session, a half dozen voting-related bills have been introduced by lawmakers, all Republicans. I'm Kathleen Shannon.
More than a dozen indigenous communities welcomed back more than 500 bison last year to their ancestral grazing lands across the country. The indigenous-led effort, which includes the Intertribal Buffalo Council, says bison play a role in spiritual and cultural revitalization and food sovereignty for indigenous people. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
DT Track. your healthcare partner, provides access to a nationwide network of qualified healthcare temporary staff, including medical billing professionals that optimize your revenue cycles. More at dt-track.com who support this show. See Renewal's expertise in energy, housing, land use, fire protection, and more in multi-jurisdictional environments helps tribes leverage existing assets, grow capacity, and gain competitive advantage. See Renewal supports this show. SEERenewal.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Review the situation that you call the pinna. To be a true player, you have to know how to play. If she say a night, convince her say a day. Never admit to a word where she say. And if she claim her, you tell her, baby, no way.
But she caught me on the counter.
Wasn't me.
Saw me banging on the sofa.
Wasn't me.
I even had her in the shower.
Wasn't me.
She even caught me on camera.
Wasn't me.
She saw the marks on my shoulder.
Wasn't me.
Heard the words that I told her.
Wasn't me.
Heard the screams getting louder.
Wasn't me.
She stayed until it was over. Honey came in and she caught me red-handed, creeping with the girl next door. Picture this, we were both butt naked, banging on the bathroom floor.
I had tried to keep her from what she was about to see. Why should she believe me when I told her it wasn't me?
She knows she natural and on a right for vex. I never used to see her make the jigger low flex. As far as the favor you in the complex. Seeing is believing, so you better change your specs. You know she have a bring up whatever things are from the past. All the little evidence you better know for mass. Quick for your hands up, no off it up. But if she back a gun, you know you better run fast.
But she caught me on the counter.
Wasn't me.
Saw me banging on the sofa.
Wasn't me.
I even had her in the shower.
Wasn't me.
She even caught me on camera.
No, wasn't me.
She saw the marks on my shoulder.
Wasn't me.
Heard the words that I told her.
Wasn't me.
Heard the screams getting louder.
Wasn't me.
She stayed until it was over. Honey came in and she caught me red-handed, creepy with the girl next door. Picture this, we were both butt naked, banging on the bathroom floor.
Since Romeo is bleeding, but you can't see his blood. It's nothing but some feelings that this old dog kicked up. It's been raining since you left me. Now I'm drowning in the flood. You see, I've always been a fighter, but without you, I give up. Now I can't sing a love song like the way it's meant to be. Well, I guess I'm not that good anymore, but baby, that's just me. Yeah, I will love you, baby, always, and I'll be there forever and a day. We'll be right back.
little bit of the 90s after the news, Monday through Friday, after we get Alaska News Nightly and National Native News. It's the 90s after the news. That was Danny Wilde and the Rembrandts, Long Walk Back. Bon Jovi, that's right, he's stuck in the 90s. Always Shaggy, It Wasn't Me. And coming up, what do we have? Mariah Carey, Vision of Love. How about Lisa Loeb and Nine Stories? Stay, I Missed You. We might get to those, but if not, we will bring you a regular meeting of the school board for the Aleutians East Borough School District, starting at 6:30. Heads up, if you go to apradio.org, you can grab a copy of the agenda in the packet, follow along, and if not, you can review later. We'll have the archives up, posted at apradio.org after the meeting. Stay tuned. You are tuned to Community Radio and Mariah Carey.
try to give away, keeper, or keep me, 'cause you know you're just so scared to lose. You say, stay. You say,
it is 6:34, and we'll call the meeting to order.
Mrs. Friend, I'm here. Okay. We're trying to find a place to hook up here in the school.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty extreme.
See, school board better, has convened and they haven't brought the meeting to order.
Please. Is that too quiet now?
No. Roll call.
Amy?
Here.
Brenda?
Here.
Hillary?
Here.
Carla?
Here.
Rita?
Here.
Grant?
Here.
Carlene?
Here.
Morgan? She's probably still out of town. We have a quorum.
I skipped the Pledge of Allegiance, so can we please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Others in attendance online, what do we have?
We have Karen Ravenscroft, Matt Brown, David Nielsen, KSDP, Megan Gatlin, Austin, and I think that's everyone besides board members.
Okay.
Oh, we also have Karen Keck and Jacqueline and Miss Lynette and Miss Jacqueline in King Cove besides myself.
Thank you.
Okay, and here we have Mr. Franklin and Cheryl. All right, can I get a approval of the agenda?
I'll make the motion to approve the agenda as presented.
This is Brenda, I'll second.
Roll call.
Carla?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Harleen?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Are there any public comments on agenda items? None? Okay. Approval of the November 26, 2024 regular meeting minutes.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion.
A second. Roll call.
Amy?
Yes.
Harleen?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Student report. If
that was Morgan's report.
If Morgan's not online, her report's in the packet. And then next is the superintendent's report.
Thank you, Madam President, distinguished board members. I feel like this year I'm more excited about education right now than I have been probably since my second or third year of teaching. And I'm really grateful that we're in a district that honors tradition, but also can look for innovative ways to support student learning. And I feel like we're at the technology has finally caught up to the point, I feel like, that actually we're at the point that we can really improve student learning where we are. So we got to see a little of that this year. Recently, in the last couple months, we've been experimenting with some AI tools, some of our teachers have, and seeing that used in the classroom effectively by good teachers is really inspiring to me. Really, it's finally a tool that helps us reach our goal of true individualized instruction for each kid, and then regular, immediate, actionable feedback for every single student. So although I know there's still some fear around things like AI, and not everybody's, you know, I don't ever see technology as an answer to anything, but it certainly has gotten to the point that we've seen it recently evolve to the point that it can be a really great tool for us to individualize instruction and get kids really good formative feedback. So I think this is a really exciting time to be in education. And I'm glad we have a staff who's embracing some of this innovation. We started using proximity learning for our two math sections at Sandpoint, and some other students from other schools are joining us as well. And that's been kind of just a pilot program to see how effective it could be to bring in some virtual teachers when we just have one or two sections that need to be filled and maybe we can't find a qualified teacher to bring in. And the initial reports has been great success. It's the combination of having a highly qualified teacher online, but in real time with a strong classroom aide there to support the students in person has just turning out to work really well. We weren't sure how great it would work, and initial reports are really good. So we're looking at that as a way to help supplement our staff in the future, certainly not replace teachers. So again, another sign of current technology, really an exciting time in education. It is budget season, so I'm gonna briefly talk about where we are going forward here. In my report, there are some scary numbers, and I want to make sure I don't freak people out here. So I did put together a really rough initial budget that's based for next year, that's based on our current staffing and current known funding. And with those things together, we're looking at a $750,000 deficit. Now, again, that sounds like a super scary number, but that is with no increase to BSA, that's with no increase to local contribution, That's with current staffing. And so, you know, already off the top, I know we're probably going to be reducing by 2 teachers, which would get that deficit down a little bit, just based on enrollment numbers that I've listed there. And then there's a bill, a House bill out already, put forward by Representative Hemshute, who actually was a teacher in Sandpoint before she was a representative, maybe 30 years ago. She was only here for a year.
Yeah. She told me she was here in the 80s.
Okay.
I talked to her at AASP. Yeah.
Well, she's got fond memories of Sandpoint.
Rebecca Hemshute.
And
it's the
80s. Was it?
I was just trying.
Maybe it was 90s.
I think it was the 90s because I think I was a teacher in her class my junior or senior year.
Well, she ended up moving to Southeast. She now lives in Sitka. She's a representative down there after a career in education. And her House Bill 69, which there's going to be public testimony on it tomorrow, is pushing forward a BSA increase of $1,808, which would be the FY11 BSA, which is the last time we had a significant increase, believe it or not. Increase for inflation between now and then. So it really is just getting us back to what the BSA was in 2011. So I don't look at it as a major increase. It's actually just getting our BSA to keep up with inflation. And then her bill also inflation proofs the BSA moving forward. So if it were to go through in the next 3 years, we would get up to 1808. It would be $1,000 this year and then 404 in the next 2 years. But the really significant thing in it, I think, is that it inflation proofs the BSA moving forward based on the CPI of urban Alaska. So that would be a really exciting development. So again, that $750,000 deficit was with no increase, right? Now, we know we're going to get something. Ideally, it would be this House Bill 69 at 1808. And there is it definitely, I think, would have support in the Senate. I think we're getting there in the House, and then it's just a matter of whether our governor would sign it. So my report has a few more details about our numbers, but I'm hopeful that that there's already really positive movement to increase that BSA at the state level, and that would help us out quite a bit. We've had some great professional development. This month, we just had a group of teachers and administrators return from the RTI conference, which is really the premier conference in the state every year for developing instruction. So a number of them will report out on that to the rest of our staff in the next month. We have another in-service coming up in February, where we'll get more training on the SEL work we've been doing, the resilience work we've been doing, and then also work real hard on picking a new ELA curriculum for our K-5. We'll have presentations from all the different companies so that the staff can get a good deep dive into those possibilities. I want to thank Borough Mayor Osterbeck for really, in the last couple months, has really pushed us to be able to get a new pool in the borough. After all the fixes and all the frustration over the last couple of years with the Sandpoint pool, he's finally realized and is really pushing forward plans for a new pool. And so we're already looking at an engineering firm is giving us some possibilities for that. And so I'm hopeful that in the next year, we could actually be looking at construction of a new pool in the existing place in Sandpoint. I always end with gratitudes. Special one today, spoiler alert, there's a retirement notice from Dave Nielsen later in the program here. But I want to make sure that I, give a really direct shout out to him. He has served our district for over 10 years. I'm reading from my gratitude list here now. Our school district's clean audits and financial stability in spite of the attacks on public education and our uncertain funding illustrate how competently Dave has served our students, staff, and communities. He works quietly behind the scenes, and I appreciate the patience with which he explains the nuances of school finance to me and the calm demeanor with which he approaches very challenging and complex financial situations. Not many people truly understand the complexities of school funding, but Dave navigates that world very well so the rest of us can focus more of our energy directly to supporting our kids. Dave has announced his retirement at the end of this school year. We'll miss him tremendously, both his institutional knowledge, his professional guidance, and his presence as a positive member of our team. Wish him great luck and joy with his grandkids in the future. I can't say this enough, that the fact that we have clean audits, the fact that we don't hear from Dave, the fact that we don't have to talk about finance much is a sign of really how great he's been. If you have looked at a newspaper in the last 5 years in the state of Alaska, there have been significant financial challenges all over the state, big districts, small districts, and our district has avoided those challenges in a big part because Dave's working so hard and is so smart behind the scenes. So thank you, Dave.
Thank you. Next is district correspondence, and we'll start with Falls Past. You're first in the agenda or in the packet. So, Mr. Brown.
Hello, everyone. Hope everyone's doing well and having a good 2025. So I'll refer to a couple key points for Falls Pass. We're lucky to have increased our enrollment by 2 students. So we're at 12 right now, which is exciting. 2 elementary students joined us. And as of right now, we may have 14 to start the school year next year. So we're hoping we can make that happen. I put a lot of pictures of the Christmas program we had. I think I talked about that last time, but check out the photos. Students worked really hard on a play and song. So that was a lot of fun back in December. Couple more points. We really try to do frequent gym breaks for our students. I feel guilty because they go to the gym. I know it's good for them, but part of me thinks, oh, we need to do more work, you know, more math, reading, writing, whatever it is. But we do, they do spend a lot of time, you know, practicing volleyball. The kids recently have been practicing NYO. So they're practicing some of the different events during their gym time. And we even have some girls that do cultural dancing. So I think that's kind of cool. They started thinking about cultural dancing in school. When we had a Zoom meeting with Accutan a couple months ago. The elementary kids are playing a lot of street hockey. Our instructional assistant, Mr. Eric Tepper, I believe he's a big hockey fan, and he's got the kids kind of really excited with playing street hockey. So they've been doing that quite often. Two key points last is, we're very thankful. We get on virtually with Algebra 1 class in Sandpoint. And it seems like we had a couple of tech issues in the beginning, but our students seem like they're enjoying the class and they're fitting in. And so that goes back to Mike talking about virtual. So we're thankful to have that virtual support from Sandpoint, Algebra 1 wise. And then RTI conference was great. Lots of learning. So a lot of things I wrote down and concepts I want to apply for our school, trying to improve my teaching and work with the kids. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions?
I don't have a question, but I love seeing those little babies vacuuming the floors and scrubbing the tables and stuff.
Yeah, I saw that too. I thought the same thing. I'm like, what a great way to, right, you know, create some ownership of their space and responsibility.
Yeah. And to be totally honest, the school probably wasn't as organized, clean last year as it was when Mrs. Gatlin was here. So we've spent a lot of time as a school kind of cleaning, organizing. I'm a little OCD too, but they really enjoy it. I think they like taking ownership over the school, and we've got them kind of trained in those daily routines, you know, simple things like pushing in chair, you know, cleaning our desks, cleaning our lockers, putting all the sports equipment back. So, yeah. And I need help because, you know, AD takes quite a bit of time, which makes it hard with principal and teaching. So any help I can get from kids is really good.
Nice. Thank you for your report. Next is King Cove.
Hello. I want to thank you. We got our new dishwasher. It's not installed yet, but we have our new dishwasher for the kitchen, and we got our new cart for the salad bar, the vegetables and the fruit that have been going out that the kids love. We did have another major thing that may need to be invested in, though, with the food service this within the last week or so, when our cooling unit went down, excuse me, in the walk-in freezer. So it was a wonderful time to see the community come together, and we're storing all of our frozen things down in the AC right now. So it's beyond repair. Little flames were shooting out the back of it even. So actually, I think it had become a fire hazard. And so it was good that it kicked the breaker off when it did. So anyway, but otherwise, excuse me. Otherwise, things have been going really well here. The students are at the Bristol Bay tournament now. So we had, our teams did well. The girls came in fifth and the boys came in second, and we had some individual winners. So that all turned out great. We're getting ready to host regionals here, girls regionals. And so we've had some community meetings with that, and people are getting organized. Some of the people here in this room, Lynette and Jacqueline, are really involved in helping get those things together. But I think it's going to be a really, really great event that the district can be proud of. So I'm excited about that. But otherwise, there's lots of pictures in my report about all the things that happened. You know, it seems like a long time since we'd reported on some of the things, but all the things that happened around Thanksgiving and Christmas and the community events that went down here. So yeah, I think things are going well. So do you have any questions about anything in my report?
Any questions? No, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
And next is Sandpoint.
Oh, I'm here. Sorry, it just takes me a minute to click all the appropriate buttons. Mike took a little bit of mine. I was really wanting to focus on our virtual math as well that's happening. I have met with Mr. Martin quite a few times, and he's young, dynamic, has great energy. The kids really seem to like him. I've heard the words, I'm learning math, I'm understanding math, which is always exciting to hear because that tends to be a mental block for a lot of students. And so for a teacher to be able to push through that mental block, especially one that's teaching virtually, in my opinion, is pretty huge. I've had him request twice now to meet with students who he is worried about that just seem a little off from what they have been, you know, when he started. And I mean, he's only been doing this since January 6th. So for him to have a pulse on the kids like that and want to request a meeting just to make sure they're okay and what he can do to help them is super huge to me. So I've facilitated two of those for him to date. And that's been pretty awesome to just watch him. I mean, I've been in the, you know, in the classroom too and see how he's interacted with the kids, but just see how he, you know, interacts with the students one-to-one, as he's just wanting to make sure they're okay and doing check-ins is really pretty awesome too. So that's my huge plug for tonight, is just that it couldn't have gone better, because like Mike, I was super stressed about it and just not sure how it was going to go because we hadn't done it before. So it set the bar really high. So also want to thank Tabitha. I was really excited to work with me to get the be the aide in the classroom, and she's put in a lot of effort, also working with Mr. Martin and just making sure that things go smoothly there too. She also took on being the aide for the animation language arts class for the high school side, as Miss Payton is now our 4-5 teacher. And so just lots of changes, and thankful for the staff that have helped out and just made everything work. I feel like we've got a good system going and the wheels are turning in a positive direction. Also Doug, he took on the Algebra 1, Algebra 2 class, as Matt mentioned. And we did have some technical difficulties at first. I checked in with him at the beginning, and he said to give him a couple weeks before I check in with him again to see how comfortable he is with it, because it was new for him to teach, you know, virtually. And so I'll have a report on that for next time, because it hasn't quite been full 2 weeks to check in with him for that. The last thing, actually a couple more things. We too got a new dishwasher, and it is also not installed yet. So I'm going to be really excited when I walk in one morning and it's not in the hallway and installed. And we also, like, I don't know, Karen, but we don't need to compete with these building issues that aren't great, because our walk-in fridge went out, but it's not detrimental. We don't have to replace it. So somebody knock on some wood. But we've got some help from Trident on that, and hopefully it doesn't completely go out. So yeah, I put the other maintenance things that are struggling with in the board report, hoping that our big project happens soon. And the last thing, really just kind of a shout out, like, for Theo and this travel for sports, and Iliamna Air as well. Our travel this year, I don't want to jinx it, but it's been like almost perfect. So I'm just super thankful for Theo getting our kids where they need to go. It's really fun to watch the kids get on the plane. He knows who they are.